Let's start with a stat that might surprise you. Over 90% of all pages on the internet get zero traffic from Google. And while there are plenty of reasons for that, one of the biggest culprits, weak or non-existent backlinks. Today's guest is someone who's made it his mission to solve that problem without relying on shady tactics or generic outreach. I'm talking to Brett Margera, founder of Mojo Links, a relationship-first link-building agency that helps brands earn high-quality backlinks by focusing on real human connections, not spam. I'm your host, Chelsea Alves, and I'm thrilled to welcome Bart to the podcast today. Hi, Bart. Welcome to the show.
Hey Chelsea, thanks for having me.
Thank you for
Excited
being
to be here.
here. Can you tell us, just to get started, a little bit about your journey and what led you to where you are today?
Well, it's been a long journey. I initially came to Thailand as a teacher. I did that for a few years, and then I met some interesting people and I discovered SEO, specifically affiliate SEO. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I was very intrigued and I wanted to learn what it was. And one of my friends gave me some pointers, some lessons. And at some point, he told me that I need to build my first website. So I did build my first website. I didn't know what I was doing. I was building it for a year. And after a year, when it went live, it started making some commissions on Amazon.com. So that was like the breaking moment for me. And next, I moved on to like this agency work. I met Matt Diggity and I got my first job, Diggity Links. So that was my first link building job. And with Matt, I learned a lot about SEO, the SEO industry, and link building, of course. After that, I moved on to freelancing work and I set up my freelancing gig here in Thailand. It was not official yet under my name, Magera Marketing. Then it morphed into Mojo Links and offering content writing services and link building. But just recently in 2024, I merged Magera Marketing into Mojo Links. And now it's a Wyoming-based business since December. So it was a lengthy process. So that's the gist of the story, yeah.
Great. Well, we're going to dive into all things link building today and learn a little bit more about your background as well. So let's start with link building. You've talked about relationship first link building. What does that look like in practice, and why do you think it's more effective than traditional outreach?
Well, now, the business is built on human connections. So it's important to build that solid network of friends and business partners, both from the client side and from the provider side. So you can only get the best deals, the best service, and the best backlinks from people you can trust. So it takes time to build that relationship and that system, how you can work together with different people because people work in different ways. But once you get into that, you can find real gems there and the relationship just grows from there.
Yeah, I like that approach with the human-centered, keeping things human-centered and towards humans first and foremost. I think that often gets lost in translation and marketing, so I really like that approach you take. And speaking of which, link building, it often gets a really it kind of has a bad reputation in the SEO world. Why do you think that is, and how do you think you approach it differently with Mojo Links and other link building agencies?
Well, there might be multiple reasons for that. First, I would say from the algorithm standpoint, because as we all know, we've had multiple algorithm updates. And because of those updates, a few things happened. So some of the websites, they changed their content strategy. So they started publishing garbage content, so to say. So some of the websites that were really good in the past, they kind of pivoted and they ruined their content. They degraded the content quality, that degraded the backlink profile. And previously, when you had a nice website to link from, now this website might actually damage your business. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason is the more maybe more obvious reason when people sell links and these links are just of low quality, maybe inflated DR and no traffic, or even inflated DR and traffic, but that traffic comes from spammy keywords. So even big agencies, you know, anyone, we're all human, and sometimes if you don't look at the nitty-gritty, you don't look at the rankings of all the keywords, you can actually think, oh, this domain looks good, I actually know this domain, I can trust this domain, but guess what, in the last year this domain completely transformed and now it's a toxic link. So these are some of the reasons it's a bad, might get a bad rep.
Yeah, that completely makes sense. I want to circle back to, you mentioned that building genuine relationships is kind of key for success, especially in the link building realm. How do you balance scalability with authenticity when your team is managing multiple outreach campaigns?
Well, I always focus on quantity, on quality over quantity, because I had an opportunity to work with some of the biggest websites in this world, like a business valued multi-billion dollar valuation. So they also have their internal vetting process. So you cannot fool them. So they will manually vet all the domains, and most of them, they will just disregard. They will not accept them. So if you give them garbage, they will just reject it. So it's not always about the velocity. In some niches, you don't need that many links, which I think we will talk later on. But sometimes you might need just a few good links from high authority websites. Sometimes a good press release can do a lot of good work for your brand. And brand building is big now. So I always try to be careful. I wouldn't want to, you know, slam a website with hundreds or thousands of links that might not be necessary. Slow and steady wins the race over time, because then again, like the SEO as well as the AI landscape is changing so fast that it's better, you know, maybe hold off for a second, take a breather, and then, you know, keep it steady. Just like with a content publishing schedule, you can roll out the links.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously the SEO landscape is always evolving, always changing, and with Google's algorithm updates getting stricter, how do you future-proof your clients' backlink profiles to ensure long-term SEO value?
Good question. So apart from building links, I also do technical SEO audits every day. And I approach link building in the same way. So I advise always everyone to look at their backlink profile regularly, because you might not know when you're getting hit with spam attacks, and they are very common. You know, the obvious thing to do is just to look at your referring domains. If you see a spike, that might be a flag for you, and start checking the backlinks. There is a lot of spam out there. Like I'm sure everyone has seen it. If you log into Ahrefs, across all my websites, across all industries, we get those links from these weird directories, those spam directories. So it's not uncommon. It's actually very common. So regularly checking your backlink profile, checking what they are ranking for, because then again, I built very long time ago some links from some websites that were very good in the past, and then I checked them again a few years later and I had to disavow them because they were just garbage. So also disavows, I've done some large scale disavows as well for corporate clinics. 100% they have their place.
Yeah. Another thing to call out is Unmist does offer a website audit tool. So if anyone listening to this is interested in searching their backlink health, Unmist does offer that for free. Let's talk about common misconceptions. There's a lot of misconceptions around link building. What is one or two of the most common misconceptions about link building that you wish more marketers and business owners understood? And how do you debunk them?
So something I like to do and approach link building in this way. So some people think all links are good. not all links are good. And what that means is high DR, high traffic, and it's, let's say, placed in footer or hidden somewhere. It matters where the link is placed. You know, if you want to get the most out of your link, many people like to use this strategy. You know, place it in the first paragraph if you want to have the most impact. But also another misconception is, yeah, like we mentioned before, high DR, high traffic. The domain looks good. It doesn't look spammy. Maybe there is some partial match there. Maybe there is some brand even. DR looks nice. And then you look at the keywords and you look and you check, and there's some login keywords, some celebrity diet keywords. And again, it might look good on the surface, but when you look deeper, it's not so good.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like a lot of, business owners, marketers, et cetera, they think that, like you said earlier, that the quantity of backlinks is more important than the quality. So I think that's a good reminder that, you need to focus on getting quality backlinks, not just getting backlinks from any site, especially spammy sites, and doing it in an ethical manner.
Definitely.
So you work with clients in a wide range of industries. How do you tailor a link building strategy for, say a SaaS company versus an e-commerce business?
That's an interesting comparison. So, what e-com sites are doing and what is working really well is you don't necessarily need to shoot for those high DR links. You can shoot for niche blogs, you know, like some mommy blogs or something like that. Well, depending whatever pet stores. So if you can find some influencers or just regular bloggers that have decent traffic, that's a great link to have. You can also do parasite SEO. This is not necessarily for like traditional link building, but it makes sales, crazy sales. If you know how to do Parasite SEO, Reddit, or other websites like OutlookIndia.com or any other ones, they get shut down, yes. But if you calculate your campaign correctly, you can get a very nice ROI in a very short time. For SaaS based businesses, yes, you can shoot for those higher DR. You can shoot for case studies, maybe some roundups. Industry blogs, so that there you can shoot for those high level ones. With e-commerce, it's more like this organic touch, UGC content as well, that personalization.
Yeah, so it sounds like every industry kind of has a different approach, and it's not necessarily like a one size fits all solution. And so you need to be cognizant of your industry, and that will determine your link building strategy.
It's not one size fits all, definitely.
Yeah. So we know outreach fatigue is real. Editors, they get dozens of pitches every single day. What's your secret for standing out in crowded inboxes and, building long-term connections with those editors?
Yeah, so we all know that typical opening line said, "Hey, I saw your blog post. I'm really impressed," and blah, blah, blah. So that doesn't work anymore. Most emails just get disregarded completely. What you can do to stand out is to offer them something. You know, you can say that, "Oh, I actually shared your post on LinkedIn, for example." So that's one thing. And also going from that, you can hit them with a piece of content that you already created. And you can say, "Oh, I have this amazing blog post. I researched your site. I researched your business. So maybe if you have time, have a read, and we can go with that." You know, just offer them something.
Yeah, offer value rather than, just soliciting your website.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about content. How important is it to have strong content assets before you start link building? And can links alone drive results?
Good question. So I'm a very big proponent of content. This is where I actually come from. I'm in the topical authority group with Corey, and we discussed topical authority. And I really like this idea. And in many industries, content alone can produce amazing results. And you need to have a base, a foundation, basically. If you don't have a foundation, if you're growing a business long term, yeah, maybe in some one-shot things, parasite, you can get some decent results. But if you're thinking about a long-term business, you need to have that foundation. And the way to approach this is to build a topical map, preferably more, but you can start with one and you can get amazing results with that. Create not just topical clusters that you can connect with each other, but build funnels. So this is how marketers, in my opinion, should think, not just in terms of topical authority and internal linking, because it works and it's really great. But if you want to take it up a notch, you build those funnels. So you focus on that customer journey. Every page should conclude with something, some kind of CTA. And it's kind of crazy when you see even high-level businesses that are doing already great, but still they leave a lot of money on the table because they have that dead end somewhere. So if the more robust content you have, the more power your links will give. And actually, my case with my first affiliate website, I still have it actually, and I created this piece of content. That was my strategy, and I actually got a link from Huffington Post,
Oh, wow.
and people thought I paid for this link. I still have this actually.
Yeah.
And if you really focus on creating this content that is like evergreen, you will acquire natural links, especially if you're dealing with like health niches, not necessarily medical, but that was a health related thing. And you can really acquire natural backlinks if you really, really focus and build up the content, not just, publish it and hope for the best, update it, maybe change the layout, build some external resources, build up the topical cluster, and you can get some really crazy links.
Yeah, I mean, the Huffington Post, that's such a strong backlink and such a reputable site. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So for companies that are, maybe just starting up or they're on a really tight budget, what are some sustainable link building tactics that they can start with that won't break the bank?
So if you're just starting out, it's a new business, depending on if it's a local business. We have different types of businesses, but of course, like for example, for local citations is a must, and you can build a lot of them. Your social fortress, so your social profiles, as many as you can, submitting your website to your industry specific directories. You don't necessarily need to, you shouldn't even start with any guest posting. Just build as many free links as you can. Also, expand to other channels, and this is also does go that that that's how SEO evolves. That's what I mentioned in the beginning. It's no longer just SEO. You have to incorporate other media channels, grow your social profiles, maybe Instagram, maybe Facebook. Some work better than others. I know people in specific industries, for example, finance. Pinterest can work very, very well in a niche like finance. Like, I don't know, is this a common thing, like common knowledge? But it is, So you can actually find even one channel. You can try a few of them, and yeah, you can publish pins on Pinterest, and you will get links and a lot of traffic.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't even think about Pinterest as a method for link building, but that's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
So what's one common mistake you see businesses make when they're, trying to scale their SEO efforts? And it doesn't even need to be related to link building. It could be really anything. And how can they avoid that common mistake?
Coming back to our discussion about AI, so this can be a double-edged sword because I've seen it work very well, but I've also seen it destroy million-dollar businesses. So they what happened is a business fired their entire writing team editors, and maybe left one or two editors, and then just went all in with AI without even doing any edits. So the common mistake now is to go all in with AI, not do any editing or even very little editing. What also it carries along with it is AI not only can sound generic and it's very hard to produce content that is meaningful, helpful, but also hallucinates internal links. People want to be smart, and you can have 50% of the links linking to your live articles, and that's great. But then this is what I've been checking recently. Turns out several thousand pages were published. Half of them have internal links linking to dead pages. So the content is actually good. It was very well done, actually. It was very well designed. The AI did a really good job, but it hallucinated the internal links, which initially it provides a boost. You see a boost on the chart, but then if you don't take care of it, it will actually hurt your business. So don't trust AI too much. I work with AI every day, and I have some of the agents from some of the world's best AI marketers, and it's still surprising to me how many mistakes AI just makes if you ask it some basic questions. Or even so, I work a lot of with code. I check the code manually, and let's say I have an error in Sitebulb. It says missing HTML elements, and I see there's no missing HTML elements, and AI says, "Oh yeah, we have this one. The closing tag is not there," and I see it is there. So why are you hallucinating? So AI can be very helpful, but if you just trust it, you're really putting your business in danger.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I'm a content marketer and I've seen AI, make a lot of mistakes, especially when it comes to like citing resources. Like say you want to find, a current stat around anything, what like the current email open rate for financial services brands. Like I've seen it definitely make mistakes around that and cite things that don't exist or just come up with figures that aren't accurate. And if you go and publish that content without trust or without double checking it, that's going to lead to false information and claims that just aren't factual and accurate. And that will, if consumers see this or they're linked to a 404 page or look for the stat in a study and it doesn't exist, that's going to, make your business not seem reputable and authoritative. So, completely agree.
Yeah, it can be very dangerous. You really need to know what you're doing. I wouldn't give AI a junior SEO and rely on them entirely.
Yeah, I definitely think companies need more, like guidance and education around AI, especially like you said, for junior level employees who just kind of are growing up in the AI age and rely on it so heavily. So, think it's great, a great tool, like you said, but it definitely needs some wrangling and it can't be completely trusted.
Definitely.
So speaking of AI, AI obviously is transforming content and search. How do you see the future of link building, evolving over the next few years given the rise of artificial intelligence?
Well, now you can have settings in Google Analytics, and you can actually see where the traffic is coming from. So you can actually see traffic coming from ChatGPT and all these other agents. So this is a common question asked when I talk to my peers, like, how do you optimize for AI results, for AI overviews, for ChatGPT? And the answer I found is there's nothing different other than just doing regular SEO, and you have to have that topical authority. And if you answer those questions in triples, and if you answer the questions in a specific way, like you approach it when you think about featured snippets, for example, question and answer, when you include that entity in the question and answer, you have a much higher chance of appearing in the AI overviews, maybe in the future in the AI mode. But it's the same kind of ideology, I would say, when you approach featured snippets. You have to have some kind of a format that you follow. So that's one thing. And then there's the topical authority, because when you talk to AI and you ask a series of questions, then it will do the research and then it will see that, oh, your website has a lot of content on this specific topic. So this is what I've been seeing that wins in AI overviews specifically, which I've been testing for medical clinics. When you look for specific symptoms and treatments and conditions, if your clinic covers all of them, you have a much higher chance of appearing in those results.
No, that's such good advice because I know a lot of businesses right now are really eager and confused how to kind of rank for those AI overview or AI generated overview results. So, I know that's top of mind for a lot of SEOs right now.
Yeah.
MojoLynx, it's grown pretty quickly. What systems or mindsets have helped you scale your business without compromising quality?
I would say it's going back to building those relationships, especially when you're working with people from different countries. And I mean all over the world, America, Europe, Middle East, Australia, and Asia, Southeast Asia. Everybody has a different approach. And what might seem very obvious to you might be completely misunderstood by the other party. And it's not that they don't know, it's just a different culture. So this is something that I've learned, because sometimes it can be upsetting or you can be frustrated. And the key here is to just ask more questions and explain. Just like being a good leader, like I believe in this notion by Jocko Willink, there are no bad teams, only bad leaders. So if my team is failing, that means I failed.
Yeah, so how do you kind of approach working with different cultures? Each culture kind of has, different nuances and ways that people operate and take feedback. So how do you kind of like accommodate for each of those different regions of the world that your business works with?
So the best way I found is to make very clear SOPs and refine them. If they are not understanding or confused or maybe lagging behind, most likely it means that your instructions are not clear. And if they are not clear, your job is to find out why is it not clear. So you just ask them, follow up, and they will give you the answers. But if you just stay idle and just let it go, and you're just hoping they will figure it out and expecting them, in some cases they should, yes, depending on which level of seniority you're dealing with. But if you're a team leader, you need to talk to them and ask them and then refine your instructions. And AI also is a great tool to use for this to speed up the process, because sometimes when I write something, I write a draft and then I put it through AI and it makes it better. Of course, you need to have that core idea, the core problem solving. If you don't have that, even AI will make it better. You just need to have, if you have a solution to the problem, you can run it through AI. If you don't have a solution, well, that's a different story.
Yeah, no, definitely. I appreciate all your answers and the wide range of topics we've covered today. This has been such a refreshing take on an often misunderstood part of SEO and also, diving into more emerging technology like artificial intelligence. So thank you so much for sharing your approach, your experience, and offering a global perspective. Bart, I'd love to give our less listeners an opportunity to connect with you and learn more about working with MojoLynx if they are interested in scaling their link building. Where can our listeners today connect with you?
The best way to connect is mojolinks.com. Visit my website, and I'm also active on Facebook and LinkedIn, so you can find me there.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Bart, for being here today. And to everyone who's listening, if this episode gave you a few aha moments, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who's trying to get more visibility online and trying to improve their link building. This has been the Unmissed Podcast. Don't forget to check out unmissed.com's free website audit tool that I mentioned earlier. It's a great way to audit your website and uncover hidden opportunities that will help grow your organic traffic. We will see you all next time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.